Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're joining us in the breakfast huddle. You're here with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank, and it's time for our regional roundup.
Yeah, so look no further than across the causeway, where Malaysia is celebrating Malaysia Day today. And last night in a televised address, Malaysian Prime Minister Mohidin Yassin continued to caution Malaysians about the COVID-19 pandemic.
And announced that he's in no hurry to open the borders, so we'll have to wait a little longer to makan with our Malaysian friends and family.
Yeah. Meanwhile, others in the region are taking a different tact. Thailand announced plans to allow long-stay international tourists from as soon as next month to help its tourism sector.
And remember last week in Indonesia, violators of COVID-19 rules were made to sit in a hearse with a casket, while the country is continuing to suggest some unprecedented solutions to curb the spread of the virus.
I saw those solutions. Just wait for it, man.
Okay.
On the line with us right now is Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Malaysia.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. First up, Malaysian Prime Minister Mohidin Yassin urging Malaysians to remain on guard against COVID-19. He even talked about how the country's not in a rush to reopen its borders. So could you break down his speech for us? I mean, would you consider it a message of hope or one of caution?
Well, clearly, I think there have been fresh clusters, new clusters, and it is of some concern. He clearly is just making everyone to stay on guard. Malaysia has done, I think, fairly well containing the pandemic, and there hasn't been any kind of pressure on the health facilities. So this is just, I think, Mohidin coming out ahead of Malaysia Day, a message yet again of caution, but you know, it's also about a country where politics remains a major issue, and I think slightly a bit of a distraction, actually, from the real problems that the country is facing. Mm.
And meanwhile, Leslie, ahead of the Sabah state polls next week, it seems that the Prime Minister, Yassin, has failed to untangle overlapping claims for seats among his allies. I guess that's raised questions about the unity within his Perikatan Nasional government. How are the Sabah state elections heating up?
Well, you know, it goes back to the first question again, but like I said, it's a bit of a distraction, and it's a distraction from the kind of missteps his administration did when they handled the Sabah, the entire Sabah problem. As I think you may realize that what Mohidin had actually led a group of people from UMNO to try and take over the government there. But this was a sidestep by the current chief minister, Shafi Abdal, who then forced these fresh elections in the state. And what the elections have shown is that clearly there are pressures, fissures within the Perikatan Nasional Mohidin's coalition. And I think it's going to kind of expose, put pressure on what's happening in government today. So, you know, there's a lot of talk that, you know, politics remains fluid in Malaysia, and there could be changes. You know, there could be changes. I think the Sabah election is something that we need to watch closely, and they're going to have serious repercussions for national politics.
Yeah, should be quite interesting, that one. Yesterday, Thailand's cabinet approved visas for long-stay tourists, and the idea was to help support the tourism sector, obviously battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. So now you have foreign visitors able to stay up to 270 days from as early as next month. Leslie, do you think this is going to attract international tourists? I mean, the idea to boost tourism, to boost that industry, will it work?
I think governments, especially for countries that rely on tourism for the economy, will have to do some, you know, novel ideas like this. And I don't know, you know, my gut is that, you know, given that people have this really this pent-up urge to want to travel after this lockdown, you never know. It just might win takers, you know. People just cooped up in their home countries, they just decide that this is not a bad idea, actually, you know. It's kind of like these flights to nowhere, you know. People just want to get out from their cocoons and leave.
Yeah, you know what they say, a change is as good as a break. Let's see if they manage it. Let's move on to the Philippines, which has had some tough months recently. The president, Rodrigo Duterte, has vowed to prioritize buying a COVID-19 vaccine produced by Russia or China. And that means taking a swipe at pharmaceutical firms of Western nations, asking for advance payment for their offers. Why has he closed the door to buying a vaccine from another country, which might actually be available earlier?
Well, you know, I think he's left with little options. The laws in Philippines don't allow for prepayments for any kind of in-government problems. So I think they're kind of handcuffed by these laws. I think President Duterte, too, is trying to send out a message that this is a pandemic. Governments are going through deep stresses, and pharmaceutical companies need to show, you know, some kind of sympathy, some kind of empathy for on how they deal with these things, with governments, especially for countries, you know, like the Philippines. It's one of the hardest hit countries in Southeast Asia. And, you know, they really need the help, all the help that they can get.
Leslie, final question for you. And this is where we turn our attention to Indonesia. So last week we talked about how violators of COVID-19 rules in Indonesia were made to sit in a hearse with a casket. This week, Indonesian police plan to involve community and local gang leaders to help authorities raise awareness about the COVID-19 health protocols. That, of course, has been met with strong objections. I also saw reports yesterday, and I'm still trying to verify this. I must put out that I'm still trying to verify this. News reports that 8 people who refused to wear face masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19 were required to dig graves as punishment for violating the Indonesian mandates requiring face coverings. I mean, how have all these various rules or punishment been met so far? I mean, what are people saying about this?
You know, I think this simply shows how desperate the situation is in Indonesia, that they really need to turn to, you know, just to instill this sense of awareness of how problematic, how serious this issue is. And, you know, governments, and especially provincial governments and local governments, have had to come up with these new measures. Some of them may be drastic, some of them may be, you know, bizarre to outsiders, but otherwise, this just doesn't sink in, you know. So, I think we're going to see a bit more of this in the coming weeks. We're going to see a bit more of this, you know, because the situation is dire in Indonesia, just like it is in Philippines.
Right. We really have to force them in that sense.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Leslie Lopez, Straits Times regional correspondent. Leslie, thank you so much for your time, as always. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. You too, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.